Hello, this is Katie, and it's day 9 of the Money Matrix Magic Marathon. And yesterday we were doing some clearings about sales and charging for your services without having an emotional charge. And we also talked about segmenting your day in the sense of having intentions for each period of your day that you enter into, so as to actually create the life you want rather than the one you're living by default. And we had a very interesting call, which I highly recommend for everybody to listen to, with Dr. Simeon Roger and Kathy Williams. And it talked a lot about why the law of attraction doesn't seem to work for some people, or people all the time. And there's some really interesting things on that, and how feeling good really is the key to getting anything you want, which is nice because we think it's hard work all the time and struggle and all those other things. And in fact, it's something different. So what I wanted to talk about today as a theme is money as a portal to the spirit and to the soul. And what we're taught mainly or learn in our culture or in our families is that money is instead of being a spiritual link to the spirit, is in fact completely the opposite and contradictory. And we have the expression of selling your soul to the devil for money, and which some people do, in a sense, because they do things for money that they really don't love, or that are corrupt, or all sorts of things. And what we're looking at is establishing a new way with money that is connected to the soul and to our purpose in this world. And I'm going to read you a little bit. And what we're going to do is going to do some clearings about anything which feels to people like something that money is not spiritual, that somehow that having money is bad, that and we talked about this on another call a little bit about, you know, in religion. I know in the Christian religion it's often assumed, or there's certain sayings that are taken which make you think that if you're rich you have no chance to go to heaven and other things like that. So they're in the culture, and I'm sure they're in a lot of other religions too. So what I'm going to talk about, I'm just going to briefly read you something from Lynn Twist, The Soul of Money, which is a lovely book. It's called, and the subtitle is Reclaiming the Wealth of Our Inner Resources. And what she says is that is living from enough, and it's a place where you can arrive and dwell in. And sometimes we think of abundance as some excessive amount of something, she says. True abundance does exist. It flows from sufficiency in an experience of the beauty and wholeness of what is. Abundance is a fact of nature. It is a fundamental law of nature that there is enough, and it is finite. Its finiteness is no threat. It creates a more accurate relationship that commands respect, reverence, and managing those resources with the knowledge that they are precious and in ways that do the most good for the most people. Isn't that lovely? So another thing that she goes on to say, and I think these are really interesting concepts, which it's this way of seeing, which is consistent with the laws of the natural world, offers a new set of principles or set of assumptions for a whole new culture around money. It teaches us how to be stewards of money rather than gatherers of money. It teaches us how to bring quality and intelligence to our use of financial resources in ways that reflect our inner wealth rather than the flamboyant display of the accumulation of outer riches. Isn't that beautiful? And she then says, sufficiency as a way of being offers us enormous personal freedom and possibility. Rather than scarcity's myths that tell us that the only way to perceive the world is there's not enough, more is better, and that's just the way it is, the truth of sufficiency asserts that there is enough for everyone. Knowing that there is enough inspires sharing, collaboration, and contribution. Now, isn't that a different view? And then she says, and then she quotes from this book, which is, I think, illustrates it in a beautiful way. And it's a book by Anne Morrow Lindbergh. And she says that Anne Morrow Lindbergh understood the exquisite distinction of enough when she wrote in her book, Gift from the Sea, one cannot collect all the beautiful shells on the beach. One can collect only a few, and they are more beautiful if they are few. One moon shell is more impressive than three. Gradually one keeps just the perfect specimen, not necessarily a rare shell, but a perfect one of its kind. One sees it apart by itself, ringed around by space, like the island, for it is only framed in space that beauty blooms. Only in space are events and objects and people unique and significant and therefore beautiful. Isn't that a different view? And instead, what we're in the society happens many times is we're encouraged just to just overdo it, to just have more and more goods. And you actually see these, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen some of these reality shows. I don't see them very often, but there's one where you have people who've just accumulated so much in their, I guess it's not actually a reality show, but it's one of these shows where they come in and do a makeover and of space. And there's some people whose space is so full of objects they cannot move. And it's become, you know, there's just a deep psychological thing there that they're trying to fill a void. And often it's loss that's happened, and they just keep accumulating and accumulating. And there are people who go, like, to the extreme there, but we all, in a sense, are being constantly bombarded to get more, to get more money, to get more more objects. And there's something about really living in the space of enough, which doesn't mean you won't have, it's bad to have a greater salary or to have more money, but just that we are stewards of whatever wealth we have and that we use it in a way that is not just a senseless accumulation of stuff. So I just wanted to bring that perspective. And why don't we use the power of attraction or the law of attraction to bring more of that in? So, well, and one more thing that I wanted to talk about before we went into the rituals of the habit of today, and the habit is, and I just gave you a clue, is around rituals and connecting, and this makes our transactions or our dealing with money a more sacred place because if we incorporate rituals. For example, I was listening to a call around money a little while ago, and this woman, Allison, I think it's Allison Marks, she was mentioning how good it is if you just buy a beautiful purse, something that you really love and has beauty, and use that to store your money. And maybe the contain, like I use, for example, colored envelopes because that makes me feel more joyful to put in my receipts and things like that. So what if you imbue some of the things that you do with money with beauty and care and respect and reverence? And why not, when you're paying bills, put on some music? And we talked about this a little bit in Anna's class, Anna Pilon, and her class, where we were talking about getting more creativity in the way we deal with money and do bookkeeping. Well, why not put on a candle when you're paying your bills and bless the bills that you are paying rather than curse at them? That creates a better energy around it. And why are we paying our bills most of the time? I mean, we're paying for other people's work and services. And isn't that good that we're paying them? Isn't that good that they're there so that that we can exist? You know, if we didn't, like, we're paying the electric bill, we need that electricity. We're also paying other bills that are very, very helpful for us. And there's other people, other workers who are doing that work for us. And let's bless them instead of saying, oh, the bloody electric company or whatever else we may say. Not all of us say that, but I know at times I've certainly had that attitude. And then there are other, and if other people have other ideas about rituals with money, I welcome them to share it. So maybe we can, I'm wondering, maybe before we talk about what we're going to clear, if anybody has some rituals around money that they want to suggest, I would love to hear. So I'm going to take it off lecture mode so that you can say something. And wait a second, I think I still haven't done that. Here we go. So anybody have any rituals around money that make it a more pleasant, more spiritual affair when you're actually dealing with physical money or with the bills?
Am I still the only one here?
No, there's other people. Actually, Maureen's arrived. But you can say something, Katrina.
You know, I just started to take on a ritual of putting money in a beautiful box, actually.
Nice.
That has all kinds of symbols of travel and adventure on it.
Oh, symbols of travel?
Travel and adventure, yes.
That is a nice idea.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I might steal that one because I love travel and adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you do too.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. So, and also, I mean, one thing that Barry Kessler says is she, with her accounting, she does things like uses different terms instead of saying, like, if you've accrued a debt and you're paying it off, but the debt was adventure in Africa. You put adventure in Africa, and then you put the money you owe. So you remind yourself of the pleasure that you got. And or with just different categories of your budget, renaming them so it's not so dry and, uninspiring. So I think with your box you're doing some of that. That's wonderful. And anything else? Anybody else want to say anything? Okay. So we'll... okay. Well, if some inspiration or somebody thinks of something, then that'll be... further, that, or they can add it later. That would be great. Or people who are listening to the call that have ideas about this, it's always welcome. So let me see. We're going to go into clearing around having a relationship which is spiritual with money rather than, very troubled and seeing it as the portal to the soul and to the spirit. And so anything that people are feeling about how unspiritual money feels to them? Anything? Like, has it all, for the people on the call, I can put in some of my stuff, but for people on the call, has money felt spiritual to you before or as a contradiction of your spiritual development?
Well, I can say at times that it certainly has, but I've had certain experiences where money was a wonderfully spiritual experience, the giving and receiving of it.
Yeah.
But I would say majority of life, I don't see anything spiritual in having a job and making money.
Right.
I really don't. I in fact think I'm kind of, you know, I've always been fascinated with like who invented that system.
Yeah.
And
you mean having a job?
Yes. Working for money.
Okay. Well, money being as an exchange.
Yes, but
for
feeling,
your,
you know, the concept of having to work for money.
Okay, yes. And it's doing something that you really don't like. It seems that's part of it.
Right, doing something that isn't maybe even in your nature or something that you want to do or enjoy doing. It's just kind of something you have to do.
Great, yes. And so have to do it. So it is a little bit like you're selling your soul to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I don't know if I look at it like selling my soul. That's a little like, sounds like you're doing something devious. It may not be a devious thing that you're doing. It just may be a highly unpleasant thing that you're doing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not like you're, Faust or something like that.
Right. Or a Ponzi scheme or, you know.
And, or you're doing something that's really, you know, bad in general or evil. But it is, let's be provocative. There is something evil in that.
Right.
I mean, evil is a little bit, you know, it's not a word I use that much. But there's something that's destructive, that is destructive to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And to other people's souls when we do something that really our heart isn't in.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, part of it's the culture, and part of it is, yeah, us having the responsibility to, and the, how would you say it? Believing that we can create something, that we can do work, that can be valued.
Mm.
And we don't have to do these jobs that really aren't what we want to do. So, well, let's take that as a thing. And is there any, please go ahead.
Sure. This is Maureen.
Good. I was just going to ask you your point of view there.
Thank you. Well, my point of view from last night to today is radically different.
Oh, tell us about it.
I had quite a big breakthrough, and I'll try to put this into the outline form.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, I really like, I absolutely love my work. I love what it does. I love the way people are. I mean, I just absolutely love it. And I realize there's some bumps along the trail that I've put. So the family perspective is money is a shameful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about prostrates, and you can talk about affairs, and you can talk about anything but money.
Ah.
And wow. that's what people fight about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where relationships go awry, and that's where, you know, I'm noticing I'm actually meeting men for coffee, and I notice, do they pay? Like, how do they handle money? Do they scrabble around, or do they flip out a Visa card? Do they, you know? Like,
good noticing. It's important to notice that at the beginning.
It's amazing. All of these, like, you know, the guy spends $1.75 on a coffee, and all the pieces that come together about how that works and what that tells me about him.
Mm.
So it's not exactly about the money. But is it, you know, is he really gracious about it, or is he, you know, oh, right, I'm supposed to do this thing, you know.
Right.
And so the posturing and the pomp and circumstances and the, you know, how do they, but so I realized that I actually really enjoy making money, and I feel ashamed about it.
Oh,
and
man.
I grew up businesses making bird. I made spec birdhouses and sold them to the neighbors, and this entrepreneurial, not as much as hoarding, but I mean, I don't get the hoarding because I'm pretty comfortable spending it, but it's more like I feel like I should worry about it. And I think I've taken that on. And then I had an experience of being the sole provider in my marriage, thinking, you know, all these things, he's back to school, all this stuff, and then losing everything. And feeling there's a part of, like, not forgiving myself.
Yeah.
And then there's a part of not wanting to engage because it was so devastating. And it wasn't just the money, but it was getting beat up in court and blamed and in public.
Wow.
And I mean, I really lost everything, and it's unbelievable how devastating it was, and I didn't have a voice.
Didn't have a voice.
And it's, I've made good, I mean, I really like who I am, but I'm, you know, lost a house and cars, and it's like, whew. So I think there's that, it's kind of like people do in relationships. I was hurt so badly, I don't want to do this again, but I'm doing this with work.
Mm.
And I'm amazed at how well I'm doing with how little work, and I feel ashamed about that.
Right. Yeah. And I think, thank you so much for sharing. And what's very powerful here, Maureen, is that you are in a place where you are voicing about money, and you are saying, you know, you're getting it out in the air and not just keeping it secret. So that's it's amazing that you're doing that and breaking through that. Because if money has been a painful, a shameful thing that you never talk about, then that in itself is very powerful.
And what's really funny is how your presence has stumbled along all these little trails for me.
Okay.
Because I get an email from Dr., you know, I have difficulty pronouncing her last name, Meinweiser.
Oh, Lorna Meinweiser. That's right. Yes.
Right.
She's one of the experts.
So I get one of these promotional mails being really annoyed at how somebody can advertise on my private email. And I'm typing a mail, and it's like, wait a minute, I read this. And it's like, I don't want it, but I just, it's like this little fishing thread that I just keep pulling. Mm-hmm. And then the thing like, oh, I don't want to bother people with marketing. And it's like, it's uncovering something a whole lot bigger.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's very heartening to hear. And it looks like things are, yeah, you're unraveling it. And so that with that, when you do, as you make money now, you will be able to be a good steward of your money.
Right.
And, use it in ways that really reinforce your values. And it sounds like in the marriage, and I know so many, you know, so many of us do this, is that we give away. We don't feel comfortable with what we, you know, like we don't feel comfortable with having money. And so often what happens is, and I know so many it happened in so many relationships, is that in some way that money is given away or taken away by, you know, by a man or by a relationship, you know, and the dynamics of that.
Well, here's the crazy...
And that happens for men, too, but I'm also seeing it a lot with women.
Well, it really ripped open some deep childhood wounds that I wasn't aware of.
Mm.
So I feel incredibly in awe to see those, I mean, spiritual wounds. It wasn't just behavior, which is my work. I know how to manage it, but I didn't see it. But the other thing is, then when I track back, I realize growing up, I forgot about the part that my mother wasn't getting enough money to feed us. And so I was earning the money to support the family.
Oh, really? Wow.
And so she was not well, and I was really bringing in the income and to be, you know, I didn't get to buy a sweater because I earned money. We bought stuff for the family.
Yeah.
And I sort of missed that, but that's what recreated in the family, that I'm earning it and it's not mine.
Earning it and it's not mine. Well, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
And thank you for bringing that. And let's anything else, or we'll just start clearing?
I think that pretty much says it all. So I don't, yeah, I'm just in awe at how these things repeat until it unravels.
Yes. And we keep having to deal with it until we see what is behind it.
Right.
And actually, that, I mean, it ties in with the soul. It's in the sense that I find money is this way, I mean, believe me, I didn't want that this way, but I find money has uncovered so many things for me. And, you know, my quest to sort of see what was blocking me on the financial level, it has opened up so many worlds to me that I never probably would have gone down because I didn't need to. But and so what you're going to find, and I think all the people on the call and in this program and who do clearing around this, is that you're clearing not just your money thing, but all those, as you say, spiritual wounds of how we treat ourselves, how we value ourselves, what we think, what we will receive. And I'm just getting something here. It's like the spiritual thing. It's almost, there's also a spiritual thing that we only should give and not receive. or it's not really spiritual because you need to do both, but...
Well...
But it's assumed that it's the spiritual thing to do is to give without necessarily receiving.
I have one more insight. When we were talking about the... It's like the idea of the readings and bringing people over and feeding them.
Yes.
What it... triggered me to this awareness is how I've had this thing where, you know, making big dinners for people, but with just when I'm feeding myself, I eat a cracker with cheese. Like, I don't do this. It's almost like when I stop feeding the neighborhood, it's going to be a little easier.
Okay, well, lots there. So let's begin, and we'll see what comes up.
Thank you.
And Katrina, was there anything there that connected to what you have around money? They seem to be a little different issues, but...
Well, mine are different, but they... But I certainly have had... I had a... lots of experiences as my younger life where I would be given gifts, and then if I wasn't a certain way, they would be taken away. And it was a chronic experience, and it got to the point where it was became so regular and so normal that I got to a very rageful, rebellious stage where instead of giving somebody the pleasure of taking it away, I would destroy it.
Ooh. Wow. That's interesting, because I wonder what that means when you get the gift of money for your services.
And so, you know, I threw television sets and stereos out of 2- and 3-story windows.
Oh.
It was a lot of fun.
That sounds very dramatic. Hope you didn't kill anybody on the way down.
No. Made sure that it was clear.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. And isn't that horrible that you would be given things and then taken it away? That's really almost sadistic.
And also the, you know, just as another example is being, my father bought me a used car for my 16th birthday when I got a driver's license, and I thought it was this grand gesture of generosity, and then woke up the next day and he said, go get a job now, you got to pay me back.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we'll see what, actually this is very juicy, because both of it is like, can't keep what we got, we're given.
That is so, I so love that you shared that. I think this, I don't want to earn it because it's going to be taken away anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I had those child experiences too. Wow.
Okay. It'll be taken away. Okay, so why don't we start out with I don't want to earn it because it'll be taken away.
Okay.
And we'll see where it goes. That seems to be a common thread there. Even though I feel like I deserve money, I just don't seem to be able to keep it. And I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I can receive money, I just can't seem to keep it and use it for myself. And I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I am not a good steward of my money, I deeply love and accept myself. Money comes, money goes, money comes, money goes, but does it go right in the right places? Money comes, money goes down this infinite pit. A pit which isn't feeding me. It's feeding the neighbors, but not me. It's feeding the husband, but not me. It's an infinite pit, this money. And it seems however hard I work and earn at things I don't even like sometimes, it doesn't seem like there's anything left for me. Nothing left for me. Bloody sadists, my parents, giving me things and then taking it away. Maybe they didn't see it that way. Maybe they thought it was their way of educating me, that money's not for free. that nothing is a gift, that nothing is a gift. So I better be careful, better not earn. I better not earn what I really am capable of, because it'll just be taken away, so what's the point? Why don't I just avoid the disappointment? Why don't I just avoid the legal battles? Why don't I just avoid it all and not earn what I'm capable of? Oh, it makes me sick. It makes me really sick to think of all that I have just lost, all that I lost. I mean, couldn't I see it coming? Couldn't I see it coming? Didn't I know somewhere that what I was doing was not going to serve me? Didn't I know somewhere that little voice saying, oh my God, oh my God, He took so much. Took so much. And I'm not going to let him take any more. No more. No more of my spirit. No more crimping of who I am from fear I have from him. From fear I have from him or her. Yes. 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 No more shame about having money. No more shame about money. I'm just having fun, having the money. I'm having fun having the money, and it's okay to have fun. I don't know why I haven't had fun before, only I do know why, because they said it was shameful. They said I should feel guilt. They said I should give it all away and have nothing left for me. Nothing left for me. Well, things are changing now. Things are changing now. Things are changing now. Things are changing now. I'm receiving. And this is what I'm realizing is one of the biggest spiritual gifts is to receive. Is to receive. And I've been told only to give. Only to give all that is mine and more. And now I have to learn. Now I have to learn to receive. Gee, that's going to be hard work. Actually, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's just going to be fun as I let it come and I let things go. Old memories go, old memories go, old memories go. Okay, anything? Anything come up further, or should we keep going?
This is great.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm on the right. Well, of course, you guys help. The right track here. Anything to highlight there? Okay. So I'm going to do one more clearing and see what comes up. And I'm going to put in something that Katrina said earlier about doing jobs that you don't like and that. So we'll see. Even though I've had it with doing jobs I hate, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though it really pisses me off still doing jobs I hate, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I'm really pissing myself off by still taking jobs that I hate, I deeply love and accept myself. And you can tap in between the eyebrows or do the EFT with me as you do this. Or you can just be relaxing. I think I forgot to say that. You two know it, but maybe the other people on the call don't. So, yes. What is this all about? What is this all about? Still doing jobs that I don't like. Still doing jobs that I don't like. Still doing jobs that repulse me. Repulse me. My energy is repulsed. And yet, can't quite believe that I could be paid for something that I love, that I could play at something I love. That even though others might perceive it's really hard work, that it's going to be just like play for me because I love it. And there's beauty in it. There's so much beauty in the work I am doing. So much beauty. And I can receive for that. I can receive. I can receive more than I ever imagined. And I am so able to be a good steward of this money, a good vehicle for this money. And this money circulates through me. I receive it. It circulates through me and is used for things I really want, for things I really believe in, for things that are sustainable, not just somebody else's addictions. Why am I so good at my job? Why am I so good at finding work that I love? Why am I so good at attracting clients that I love? Why am I able just to let go of the bad? The bad for me, because other people would like it. Why am I able to let go of all this so that the rest can come in? Why is it so easy? Why is it so easy to just let go of what is now, the jobs I hate, the things I hate, and go after the joy? Go after the joy. Forgive myself and go after the joy. Okay, so we'll, anything around that, and then we'll go into the healing codes. All right. Unless there's somebody who says something pretty quickly, I'm going to do the healing codes. I heard a little sound. Is that somebody wanting to say something?
No, I think it was just a sigh.
Okay, sigh. All right, so we'll put it into the healing codes, and we'll do that. And I'm just getting the prayer. So let me think. I'm thinking as to what the truth focus statement or the image that you might want to have. It can be different for all of you, but you could just say, I'm able to receive. That's one thing. Or I'm able to earn and be a good steward of my money, or I'm able to... Yeah, one of those things, or a better one if you can think of it. Nothing's coming right now. Or just focus on some beautiful image, like of a rose or a lily or whatever you find represents peace. And abundance. So, I pray, request that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories, and all resulting physical issues related to the shame and guilt and I feel about money and how I've used it and how I've not been able to receive and how I've not been able to at times do the work I really love. I forgive myself for using money as an excuse for not taking the path that is the path for me. And I ask that all of this be found, opened, and healed, filling me with the love, life, and light of the creative force. I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. So now we take cup the hands and the two hands, and we point it towards the area in between the eyebrows, and just focus that healing energy that comes from the body on that area. And deep, breathe it in deeply and out. And as old memories of negative things around money, of the way that maybe we've had to go to court and lost when we, you know, around things that we really felt very strongly about. Did that just dissipate? It was an experience. You can let it go. You have a voice now. You have a voice for your money. And are able to receive. Okay, now going down to the throat area and clearing all the stuff that gets in the way of you expressing your voice in the world, of you expressing your gifts in the world, of expressing your soul and receiving money as a way that you can continually go further in expressing who you are and giving your gifts. From you I give, or to you I give, from you I receive. To you I give, from you I receive. To you I give, from you I receive. Then taking the hands and the left hand pointing at the left jaw and the right hand pointing at the right jaw, the corner of the right jaw 2 inches away from the skin, and directing the healing energy there. And letting go of all the anger at yourself, at others. They only did what they knew. What they experienced. They didn't know any better. And that doesn't mean with their minds. They didn't know with their hearts the better way. And then the side of the temples. Directing the energy there. And then in between the eyebrows. Directing the energy there. And then down again to the throat. And knowing that all is well. That you are letting go the threads that bind you, the chains that bind you to the past. And out of the unraveling, you are gathering the threads together to weave a new future.
Okay, then we're going to the side of the jaw.
And then we're going to the side of the temple. And then you're going to put your hands on top of the crown of your head and just leave them there for a moment.
And then let them come down gently to your sides.
And then open your eyes and look at the world around you. Find something beautiful just to rest your eyes on for a moment. All right. So that is our session for today. Anything that anybody would like to say before we wrap it up?
Just thank you.
Thank you. And Katrina, thank you. Every bit of sharing that you do is profound.
Well, I felt the same about yours. So thank you.
It's amazing how sharing pain can be inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, and it's been so the contribution that you two are making by sharing that is it's so important for this process. And thank you. And for the people who can't make it on the call, it just brings those insights up. And I mean, what we've been told is not to talk about our shame and all the things that happen around money. And once, it's like with anything, once you you break a taboo by talking about it, it liberates such energy. So thank you for your sharing and your courage. And it's something that's very sacred, I feel, what you've shared today. So have a wonderful day, and we'll meet tomorrow, I hope.
Thank
our last
you.
Day of the Money Marathon, as far as the 10 days. And then we have a few other events, but that's the 10-day run. So goodbye, and have a great day.
Thank you so much, both of you. Have a wonderful weekend, or Friday. I'll see you tomorrow. I forgot.
Yes, right. Good.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.